You know, the Bible verse that was read, 2 Timothy 2:1-4, I want to read that again. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with affairs of this life, but that he may please him who has chosen him to be that soldier. You know, the most important battle today, I think, is that there's a war being waged and not a lot of people know about it. That's the battle. There's a lot of people that don't know that there are sides that have to be chosen. By not choosing a side, you've chosen a side. You are always by default on a side. There's a time in each of our lives that we must choose either to rid ourselves with the uniform that we were born with and take on a new uniform, one that's commemorated and adorned with the blood of Jesus Christ. Or you can keep the one that you were born with. But you're all soldiers. You all serve a master. Like soldiers, believers need to be properly clothed and equipped and be on the alert. Paul uses two features to challenge Timothy. He tells Timothy the need to endure hardship and the need to focus on being a good soldier. The believer must possess discipline and hard work. Many times when people hear the word work, they just, please don't say the word work. Oh, gosh, please. No, I love the word work. Because you want to know who's on fire for Jesus? Find somebody there's work being done around them. There's things getting done. Sitting back and watching the world go by is not being engaged and is certainly not a good soldier. You'll get kicked out of that army if you just sit back and do nothing. I promise you, there's always a time to clean a rifle, work on your combat skills, scriptures. Always. Another aspect of a good soldier is that you are always concerned with what the commander wants. You know, I think I mentioned it during a Wednesday night Bible study. If you ever really, and I can't speak to this personally, I can't at all. And I have all the respect in the world for those men and women that serve in real battle. Somebody tells you to go out there and attack the enemy, and you don't worry about it. Your first concern is not you. Your first concern is, I'm going to do what my leader has me to do. Well, a good soldier of Christ doesn't worry about what the byproduct or what's going to happen to them if they be a good soldier here on earth. Your concern is, what does my commander desire of me? And then I'm going to give it to him. You know, just recently, I and a number of people were honored to make that selection that you see in your bulletin of those individuals that are going to lead this church in 2019. You know what? In every sense of the word, these are the soldiers for Christ that you see on that list that's in your bulletin. Not only that, but I tell you what, let us please lift up those people and their families in prayer, because I promise you, they got the ire of Satan on them now because they raised their hand and said, yes, I'll be that soldier. If we sit back and we do nothing, the world embraces us. The world has no problems with, we can navigate the waters of this world as long as we just go with the flow. But if you want to stand up and put that uniform on of God's soldier, Satan's got you in his crosshairs and everybody around you. So in the mornings when we wake up and pray, let us pray for the leaders of our church and the leaders of our country, because it is there where a lot of harm and a lot of good can be done. Philippians 2:24-26. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. Here the Philippian church sends a soldier, a behind-the-scenes soldier. And that's some of the message that I have. I think that's what the Holy Spirit had driven in me. Listen, it's not just the pastor and your head elder and your head deacon and your head deaconess. Believe me, that's not who's driving our church. I have seen firsthand the individual that brings more souls to Christ isn't necessarily the pastor, but it's that woman that's out there doing those visits all the time. It's those people that are out there doing the prison ministry. It's that individual going out there and taking care of the homeless people. Talk about an impact and impact. That's a soldier out there. There's a whole lot of different kind of soldiers in this world too. You got frontline soldiers and you got behind the scenes soldiers. The traditional soldier, we all see. Y'all spot them. You know, they're the general on TV. They're the face. They're the ones that are barking out orders. But there's a whole lot of other people that make up an army. There's the medical help, the technology help. There's the cooks. There's the supply sergeants. I tell you what, you get a good supply sergeant, you can travel. You can make some progress. You want to win a war, you better have a good cook and a good supply sergeant. Because if you're hungry and got no bullets, you're not doing a whole lot of work. You're getting shot at instead of being shooting at. So those greeters that you're going to elect, that's your soldier. That secretary, that's your soldier. Your Sabbath school superintendent, that's your soldier. Those are the people that are going to make a real impact for this church in 2019. And not all of your best soldiers are on the front line. You'll fail miserably if your best people are the only ones that are on the pulpit. Mm-mm. You want to have a great army? Put your best hand-to-hand combat soldier in charge of training the new recruits. Oh, there'll be some rear end kicking then. I promise you. You put somebody in charge of a Sabbath school class in charge of the teens, and that person, he or she, has got a hunger for God and a desire to do God's will. You'll create the next head deacon, head elder, pastor. Deuteronomy 21, when you go out to battle against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. We're here today because there's a war being held. This war is going to take many more casualties. Unfortunately, the good news, the war has been won. You just have to accept that victory. It's been won. The war's been won. There's still battles going on. The war has been won. You just have to accept it. Greatest general in the world, God. All you got to do is make sure that he is your captain. He's the one that's in charge. You're on the winning side. He, God, has set into motion the plan to defeat the enemy, and he's done so. We need only to accept his battle plan and his leadership. You know, in the battle, you got many fronts. They come at you from different sides. Any strong church needs to know, and this church certainly does that, it guards against that. You can't put all your efforts on just one point. You got to do it all. You got to work. We talked about Sabbath school. You got to work on a relationship with one another. You got to be kind to one another. You got to be appreciative to one another. Not all of us are meant to do everything. We all, thank God, have been given something that we can add to this church. To be an impact soldier, whether traditional or spiritual, your mind and your thoughts are the utmost importance. You want a strong church? Be like-minded up here. Have the same desires, the same wants. We can all go about getting what God wants differently, but at the end, let's all meet at that one point, that cross. Whoever controls the mind of the soldier controls the battlefield. And that is, and I mentioned earlier, that's where a lot of this world doesn't get. You get it. A lot of this world doesn't get it. They don't know that every day there's a battle for your mind, for your attention. Where are your priorities? In fact, all day, every day, the world seems to do what they can to put a wall between you and God. Because it tries, Satan tries everything he can do to influence your thoughts. Because what you hold dear is what you aspire for. You want to be great? That's what your aspirations are. That's your efforts. And if you want to be humble, that's your aspirations. And that's where your efforts are. Billy Graham once said, you can't control the birds that fly overhead, but you can certainly keep them from nesting in your hair. We all sometimes see shiny things. I use God's animal, the barracuda, a lot. Barracuda jumps at everything that's shiny. Shiny, shiny, barracuda all day long looking for something shiny. We can have some barracuda in us too. We see something shiny, we see something lovely, we see something sweet, we want it. But that doesn't mean that we can let it overcome us. It's not going to consume us. I can see it and I want it. That's not for me though. It can't be for me. There's nothing I can see that is uplifting and praiseworthy for that. I don't need that. How can we be part of the winning side of this war between good and evil if we don't incorporate the thoughts of our mind every morning? You know, I used to be so much more guilty of it past than I am now. That I would go out there in that world and just, I would start my day without prayer. And I tell you, what a struggle. Life is tough. It's hard to be a good soldier. It's hard to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing if I don't start my day right. Thank goodness, God got tired of me waiting for me to make the right choice, and he put me in a situation where I've got an hour every morning doing nothing but studying God's word now. And ever since then, the world got a whole lot easier. It doesn't spin quite as fast. People aren't as ugly to me. And the things that I don't have don't seem to have that much weight anymore. Oh, I'm so grateful. Every day, start the day with cleaning your rifle. Get your uniform on. You have to do this with purpose. In fact, it's so wonderful to see so many people that as they've grown and matured in the Christian way and in walking with God's path, they feel guilty, they feel naked if they don't have the armor of God on. Instead of looking for it, it's always on. They wake up in the morning, they put it on. Walking with you, Jesus. Some of us, we got to look in the closet for it and got to grab it. Okay, what am I going to wear today? If you were raised with Christ, seek those things that which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. The soldier I'm going to speak of is not your pastor, not your head elder, not your deaconess. I'm speaking of you. You are the greatest asset of this church. You are the greatest army this church has. What you in these pews can do far surpasses anything our pastor can do. He's one man with one task. But you take about a handful of you out here, oh, y'all are a bunch of trouble for Satan. Y'all can absolutely give him a whooping. Because you're together. We talked about it at Sabbath school today. Each one of you is a stone in God's church. Nobody can build anything off of one stone, but boy, you put four or five stones together, you can get something going now. That's what you are. We're all sinners, we're all weak, but there's this great general, and he has this battle plan for us all. And in this battle plan, there's reformation being offered to us. Reformation, that word, reformation. Ooh, that's a good word. That's a good word even if you don't use it in a biblical sense. But you put it in a biblical sense, reformation, solid. If we have reformation in our thinking, we'll have reformation in our actions. What you think is how you act. And what you feel in your mind is what's going to be your priority. On Facebook last week, it showed a picture of some people in Green Bay, Wisconsin at a Sunday football game. And there's 30,000 people sitting there with a foot of snow on top of them. They're frozen up. I mean, and they're sitting there watching a football game. But I promise you, if it was raining just a little bit, are we not going to go to church because it's a little inclement out there? Huh? If you fought only wars when it was sunny and dry, I guess the Bahamas would be the place you'd want to have war. Everybody want to, you can't, United States and Soviet Union couldn't have any sort of war. We'd all have to meet at the Bahamas and duke it out there if it was always had to be nice weather. Anybody ever seen the Queen's Guard at Buckingham Palace? Was it impressive? Did you kind of jack with him and see if you can get him? Man must know his limitations. In England, the palace guard that stands at her entrance, that guards her home, does not let the outside influences of the world affect his duty as a soldier. People come from all over the world to see Buckingham Palace, see the changing of the guard. How many stories when I was a young man, people tried, you tell them the best joke in the world, you can do all kind of funny dances. They are dead, straight, solid oppose right there. It starts with their mind. And you know what? You just can't just sign up to be a Buckingham Palace guard. You have to be in the army for 6 months before you can even sign up for this. And once you sign up to be this guard, 65% of the people fail. Only 35% of anyone who wants to be this guard even gets a chance to go into school to get training. Let me talk about that training. You've got obviously, marksmanship, germ warfare, crowd control, signal corps, combat skills, and enemy recognition. I looked that up, enemy recognition. You know what? In the world that I'm talking about, the battle that we're talking about here, the enemy doesn't wave a flag at you and say, hey, I'm the bad guy. And in fact, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself in the same tent with the enemy, if you're not careful, conniving. This guard here, this man's role, he can spot problems before they happen. He can reckon a profiling. Professional profiler can spot it. We in this church need to be a little professional profilers too. If you want to be a good soldier of God, you better keep your eyes up and head on a swivel. Because I promise you, as I said earlier, he's coming at you from all kind of areas and all sorts of different directions. As soon as you think you got it here, it's over here. Our prayers need to be, make me a good soldier for you, Father. Our thoughts will ultimately dictate our behavior. The way we think influences the way we act. Can we be like that palace guard, focused, committed, and dedicated? When he goes to work, he takes his job seriously. He's protecting the queen. Are we protecting our homes? Are we protecting ourselves? Are we protecting our fellow church members? Are we being diligent soldiers for Christ? Repeated actions influence our thoughts. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, I'm going to tell y'all a story. And I tell you this story only because I want you to understand repetitive action and preparation has you prepared for most anything that's going to get thrown at you. Please remember this. This story is just because train, and retrain prepares you to be the soldier you need to be. There was a military station on the Mississippi River, Natchez, Mississippi. And there were the people that were attached to this unit were on a small cutter, a little 47-foot long cutter. And the alarm went out that there was a tugboat and barge that had somehow possibly on fire. There was no one on board, and it was possibly sinking. And it was above the Natchez Trace Bridge, which this bridge is the bridge between Mississippi and Louisiana for 100 miles each direction. And where this boat, this is how dangerous it was, that has this tug and these barges were to run into this bridge, well, it could have been devastating for this area. So the alarm goes out, and the men that was on this boat were already there. They were just on their duty station. They get underway immediately. In seconds, this ship is on its way to get to this problem and try to somehow stop this disaster from happening. Well, the cutter comes up to the tugboat, and two men are directed to jump off the boat and go down into the engine room and find out why this boat was sinking and why was it in the distress like it was. It was a very, very old man and a very, very young man. One finishing his career and one was beginning his career. They run down into this engine room. And they get down in this engine room, and there is at least about thigh deep worth of water and diesel fuel. Normal people wouldn't run in there and go down there in that bottom of that ship and do that. They've been trained. They've been trained and trained and trained and trained. They had confidence that over so many times that their leader, their captain of this boat, had sent them to do some crazy things, but it always turned out right. We've been trained. They had been trained over and over and over. They knew what they had to do. They were prepared. They went down there, and what it was is a seal had burned up around the shaft, and the water was gushing in to this boat. So the two men are working to tighten up the flanges. And while they're tightening up the flanges, they're looking at each other with this calmness. They shouldn't be calm. They're standing in diesel fuel because why are they freaking out? Why should they freak out? They can now hear above the upper decks, fire, fire, fire. Wow. So now you got fire going on upstairs. You got the boat still moving down sideways down the Mississippi River at a huge pace, is going to run into this bridge, and you can hear hollering all up in the decks, but a controlled hollering. Everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're hollering to communicate, not hollering out of fear. They're hollering out of sense of urgency, but not out of confusion. When it's all said and done, The cutter ties up to the barges and the tugboats and veers it and runs it into the side of the Mississippi River. The two men down in that engine room stops the leak, and the fires are put out up in the electrical room. Everything turns out right. Because of train, train, and retrain. You, being those soldiers in this church, we need to be training, training, and retraining. We need to be here at Sabbath school. We need to be here at worship service. We need to be here at Wednesday Bible service. We need to be training, training, and retraining, because I promise you, when Satan comes at you, you won't be afraid. You'll know what to do. You'll be able to handle it. There's a great old cathedral in Italy. In fact, the best way to put it, each door in this cathedral, and there's three doors in this Italian cathedral, each door is as big as this huge panel. Each door, and there's three doors. And on each one of those doors is an inscription above each one. All that pleases is for a moment, on the right-hand door. All that pleases is for a moment. All that troubles is but for a moment. But that which endures is forever. We need to make sure that what we put in our minds, what we strive for, is that endurance. What are we putting as our priority? When we wake up in the morning, what uniform are we putting on? Why do we put it on? Do we deserve to put it on? Second Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The battle has raged for 1,000 years, y'all. The battle's been won. We know who the victor is. Do we choose that side? As always, Ellen White providing us clarity. You want clarity? Ellen's one of those people that seems to brighten it up for us, where at least I can understand. Many profess to be on the Lord's side, but they're not. The weight of all their actions, works, deeds, the weight of all their actions is on Satan's side. By what means shall we determine whose side we are on? Who has the heart? With whom are our thoughts? Upon whom do we love to converse? Whom has our warmest affections and our best energies? If we are on the Lord's side, our thoughts are with Him. And our sweetest thoughts are on Him. We have no friendship with this world. We have concentrated all that we have and are to Him. We long to bear His image, breathe His spirit, do His will, and please Him in all things. If we fail to put a guard at our gate, we will allow Satan to come in and steal those things that are most precious to us. Our relationship with our Savior. If we are not careful, if we're not good soldiers, if we're not understanding that there's a lot of different sides, the port and the starboard, the forward and the aft, He comes at us from every possible direction. And if we are failing to understand that, He will come inside and steal from us. We can get it back after He's stolen it, but why let Him have it the first place? Because every time He takes something from us, it leaves a mark on us. In Romans 12:2, we read, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In closing, what we put into our minds will determine whether our thoughts are fashioned to be soldiers at the will of Christ, or whether we squeezed in the mold that the world desires for us. Again, by not making a stand, you make a stand. By not making a choice, you made the choice. Philippians 4:7-8. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on it." I'm going to leave you with this. A good soldier doesn't ask, "Is this enough?" A good soldier says, "What more may I do?" Thank you all.